Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to The Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And remember, our resource of the week, Resurrection Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. In this flip chart, it's a 4x6 laminated flip chart, I go through the medical facts regarding the fatal torment of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be celebrating that fatal torment this Friday. When I say celebrating fatal torment, almost seems like an oxymoron, but it isn't, because Christ rose from the dead. So on Sunday, this coming Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the cornerstone of the historic Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But consider what Christ endured. His fatal torment begins in the Garden of Gethsemane. After the emotional Last Supper, he experiences a medical condition known as hematidrosis, where tiny capillaries in his sweat glands rupture, mixing sweat with blood. After being arrested by the temple guard, he is mocked, beaten, and spat upon. The next morning, battered, bruised, bleeding, he is stripped and subjected to the brutality of Roman flogging. A whip replete with razor-sharp bones and lead balls reduce his body to quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. As Christ slumps into the pool of his own blood, soldiers throw a scarlet robe across his shoulders, thrust a scepter into his hands, and then press sharp thorns into his scalp. soldiers take the scepter and repeatedly strike Christ on the head. A heavy wooden beam is then thrust upon his bleeding body, and he's led away to the place of the skull where he experiences excruciating physical torment in the form of the cross. In fact, the word excruciating, literally out of the cross, was invented to fully codify its horror. At the place of the skull, Roman soldiers drive thick 7-inch iron spikes through Christ's hands and feet. Waves of pain pulsate through Christ's body as he experiences the nails which lacerate his nerves. Breathing becomes an agonizing endeavor as he pushes his tortured body upward to grasp even small gulps of air. In the ensuing hours, he experiences cycles of joint-wrenching cramps, intermittent asphyxiation, excruciating pain as his lacerated back moves up and down against the rough timber of the cross. And then, as the chill of death creeps through his body, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And in that anguished cry is encapsulated the greatest agony of all. For on the cross, Christ bore the sin and suffering of all humanity. And then with his passion complete, Christ gave up his spirit. Shortly thereafter, a Roman legionnaire drove his spear through the fifth interspace between the ribs, upward through the pericardium and into Christ's heart. Immediately there rushed forth blood and water, demonstrating conclusively that Jesus had suffered fatal torment. When you read those immortal words of Isaiah, "He was crushed for our transgressions, pierced for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed." Never forget that Christ suffered more than any person, more than the cumulative sufferings of humanity, so that we might be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. That is our legacy as Christians. It is our hope. It is what we look forward to. For Christ was broken, his blood was poured out for the complete remission of sins of those who cast themselves upon him, trusting in what he has done for us rather than what we can do for ourselves. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's go to the phone lines. We'll talk to Patrick first. He's in Flagstaff, Arizona, listening on XM 170. Hi, Patrick. Patrick, are you there? Okay, we will go from Patrick to Seth, listening on Bot Radio in El Dorado, Kansas. Hi, Seth.
Hi. Kind of along the lines of that Ephesians verse, "For by grace you are saved through faith." And I heard a couple programs ago you were talking to a guy about the verse in James, "Faith without works is dead."
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, you said that a true saving faith has works that it produces, and I was wondering what sort of works, at the bare minimum, would a Christian see in their life when they have faith? Because I've noticed in a lot of Christians' lives, it seems, you know, they claim to have the faith, but then they don't really necessarily change for a while, maybe years down the road, but it doesn't necessarily immediately happen where they're producing works and
yeah,
all these things.
Yeah, well, what happens in the life of the believer is they recognize that they're a sinner, and therefore they repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. And as a result of that, they are now following Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ not only justifies them, but is sanctifying them, which is to say that he is changing them from the inside out. So it's not as right. though they're standing outside the shower or scrubbing themselves off. They get into the shower, and the shower cleans them. So Christ sanctifies us, daily conforms us to his image. And therefore, with birth must come growth. And with that growth, we see evidence of works. Now, those works are living a life pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore participating not in the deeds of the flesh, but rather in the fruit of the Spirit. So what should be evident in the life of a Christian is what Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit.
The prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, and he ends up coming out of the pig pen, but is it possible for a Christian to die in the pig pen? And never be, never repent and come back out of the pig pen.
Well, I don't think so, because here's what happens. We can slip on board, but we never slip overboard. In other words, I don't think that there's a way in which you would say that someone who is genuinely redeemed would stay in the pig pen. I mean, you can be in the pig pen, as it were, momentarily, but certainly that's not what would characterize your life. For those who have a said faith, however, rather than a real faith, it's a completely different story. We don't know what's going on with those that simply say they believe as a result of a testimony towards Christ, but not a reality in their life. Judas, from all outward appearances, looked like the real deal. But Jesus saw the inward reality of Judas, and Judas was there not because he loved the master, but rather because of what is on the master's table. A genuine believer who repents loves the master and therefore wants to please the master. And that's why Paul says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then Paul gives us what the acts of the sinful nature are. They're obvious. They're sexual immorality and impurity and debauchery, contrasted with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So a Christian genuinely born again, redeemed by Christ, manifests those fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the deeds of the flesh.
Islam and Judaism swear that the resurrection of Jesus Christ never happened. Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus' physical body was discarded, destroyed, or dissolved into gases. Jesus Seminar fellows laugh it off as mere wishful thinking. What is the truth? What if Jesus was not raised from the dead? If that's the case, there's no Christianity, no heaven, no hope, and no future. It all boils down to what happened on the third day. Read this riveting account and you'll be equipped with all the key historical facts and irrefutable evidence that point to Christ's resurrection. You can order this important resource by visiting our website at equip.org or by contacting our resource consultants by phone at 888-7000-274. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Apart from the resurrection, there's little point of celebrating either Christmas or Easter. Are you able to explain the historical truth of the resurrection to skeptics? Well, this month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new Feat Flip Chart. Presented in memorable form, the Feat Flip Chart is a complete defense of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't delay. Request your copy today by going online to equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And you can order multiple copies of the Feat Flip Chart. Just again, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, I just got done reading your book, The Apocalypse Code. Great book, by the way.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. But I had two pressing things I really got unanswered, and I just, you know, you can give me bottom line answers because I know you've got more people on the phone, but I just had two quick questions, you know, as a result of reading the book. First of all, I wondered if your position millennial-wise is amillennial, and number two, I wondered if you think that although there's no, you know, support for a nationalization of the Jewish race, I wondered if you thought maybe that out the scripture verse in Romans chapter 11, where it talks about the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled and then all Israel will be saved, wondered if you thought that maybe there would be some sort of a revival maybe amongst Jewish people, you know, whether they're in Texas or Palestine.
Well, I mean, my whole point in the book is that God is not a respecter of people and doesn't choose people on the basis of their race, but rather on the basis of their relationship.
Yeah.
With Jesus Christ. And so throughout the scripture, you have one chosen people, one covenant community connected by a cross.
Yeah.
So in the Old Testament, the people who are true Israel are not true Israel by genealogical descent, but rather because of the relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel. So the emphasis in scripture is Jesus is the chosen one. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And if we are in Abraham, or in Jesus, we are Abraham's seed, and by virtue of that,
we are heirs according to the promise. So again, I don't think that God chooses people based on race, but rather
even
on their relationship.
Wise or anything like that.
That's correct.
So then your thoughts probably on Romans 11 would be that's talking about spiritual Israel.
Which true is Israel, believers. Yeah. True Israel.
True spiritual Israel. Okay. Yeah. Now, what about the millennial position? Do you hold one? Or I noticed that was pretty silent, but it seemed like maybe all millennial would be the conclusion I drew. I didn't know.
Well,
I didn't know if you want to talk about that.
No, it's fine. There's a reason that it's conspicuous by its absence in the text itself. Because people seem to believe that there are only three possibilities. You're either pre-mill, post-mill, or all-mill. And
right.
I don't think that those are the only possibilities. And what I explain in the Apocalypse Code is that the Apocalypse Code, A, is apocalyptic language. That apocalyptic language actually has its DNA in the Old Testament. And therefore, to understand what John is talking about with apocalyptic language in the apocalypse, you have to have a radar fix or the Old Testament passages coursing through your mind. In light of that, think for a moment about how thousand is used throughout Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament. It's always used in a metaphorical way.
Right.
God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He'll increase your numbers, 1,000 times, shows loving kindness to 1,000 generations. So I don't think that in a metaphorically rich genre, you want to now take that language and try to press it into a wooden literal labyrinth.
Okay. So
I think my point of view has been that rather than allow one metaphorically rich passage to override the rest of the passages in the Bible that teach a single general resurrection of the dead, we have to be willing to interpret that symbolic passage in the light of the rest of Scripture.
Okay.
And so how do you do that? Well, if you see 10 in the apocalypse, as in the martyrs are going to suffer for 10 days, we assume that that is a short period of time, or a relatively short period of time, not that it's exactly 10 days.
Okay.
We believe the same thing with respect to 1,000 years. God would vindicate the martyred believers by allowing them to reign with him for 1,000 years, a comparatively limitless time.
Okay.
So there's a unique vindication for the martyrs of this great tribulation. They will experience that at the general resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, my presupposition is that there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. So while we're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, we're saved unto good works, and what we do now counts for all eternity. So there's a certain sense in which we can talk about unique vindication for the martyrs of the greatest tribulation in the annals of recorded history, because this is the only time that the beast can completely wipe out the followers of the Lamb, because they're still in a small geographic area. So it's called the Great Tribulation not just because of the horrors of the Jerusalem Holocaust, but also because this is a time in which the church literally could be wiped out.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, are you still there?
Yeah.
So in between 70 AD and the Second Advent, really, the only thing we can put our faith in is just the Second Advent, without any kind of pointing to any other events but that alone. Would that be correct?
That would be correct. When
without
Jesus
worrying about a tribulation or an Antichrist or this, that, and the other, it's just we know Christ will come and we look forward to it, and that's about it.
That's what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's what we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's what we see in John chapter 5. Jesus says, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So I think that, again, you don't want to override those very explicit teachings on the part of our Lord by pressing the language of Revelation 20 into a wooden literal labyrinth.
Gotcha. Boy, that's very helpful. I appreciate it, Hank. Thank you. That was a great book, by the way. I really enjoyed it. I grew up dispensational, so I've moved a little bit away from that since. So,
well, I appreciate your kind comments, Chris.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Debbie next. She's listening in Naperville, Illinois. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for taking this call. My question is in regards to some scripture held in Luke, specifically 4:1-4:4, also Luke 4:14, and then finally in Acts 10:38, where God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And my question is, and I think I might know the answer, but I appreciate hearing from you. If we know that Jesus is God, why was it necessary for him to be filled? And did that filling assist him in his total obedience to his Father?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus is, without a doubt, he is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. The Bible tells us that Jesus voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity, which is to say he operated as a genuine human being, because while he did not divest himself of a single attribute of deity, he did take on the limitations of humanity, and therefore he was a human being who operated by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so was this to demonstrate the power of the Spirit that he offers to us as well?
Well, I think it is a model for us. Christ's life is a model for us. He modeled for us how to relate to God, how to live. He modeled every aspect of the Christian life. He mm-hmm. modeled the very disciplines that we are to embrace. So certainly it is a model. But remember, Jesus Christ is the unique monogenes. He is the unique Son of God. And so we cannot always make a parallel between Christ and ourselves. We can make a parallel between Christ and ourselves in saying that Christ was genuinely human, but he was genuine human without a sin nature.
Okay, and then because of that statement, so that I understand, can we make a parallel between the kind of filling that filled Christ by the Spirit and that of the Spirit which we would hope to fill us?
Well, yes. We are empowered by the Spirit, so that what we do is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. And so every time that we serve the Lord, we ask for his empowerment, which is an ongoing process. So I think the empowerment aspect is something that Jesus received by the Spirit, we receive by the Spirit in our humanity as well, so that, again, we are doing what we do, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit.
Well, thank you very much. That confirms everything there for me, and I appreciate your time.
Debbie, thank you so much for your call. We're coming up to a station break. We'll be right back for those staying with us for more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. For everybody else, check us out on XM170 or the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Steve Kreloff, and others as they challenge the skeptics at CRI's National Conference. Worship led by Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Camp. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 7th and 8th in Tampa, Florida. For more information, visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Hank will return with more of The Bible Answer Man right after this.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Jesus' last words to his disciples were to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. You can reach Spanish-speaking people with three of Hank's best-selling books in Spanish, The Apocalypse Code, Third Day, and The Prayer of Jesus. Additionally, you can listen to The Prayer of Jesus in Spanish on audio CD. Sharing these resources is a great way to reach out to a family member, friend, or neighbor whose first language is Spanish. To order, go to equip.org or call one of our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. And now, back to Hank Hanegraaff and your questions.
And before we go back to your questions, a quick note with respect to the financial health of the Christian Research Institute. Giving to nonprofits is down over 31%. And the question, of course, is whether this is a temporary cyclical phenomenon or a long-term trend. And this is something that we have to deal with at the Christian Research Institute as we continue to broadcast throughout the United States and Canada and around the world. We need people standing with this ministry prayerfully and financially. But as we look at some of the social trends, and we write about this in the Christian Research Journal, the aging boomer population will begin to place pressure on our society in profound ways. And from a pure numbers standpoint, we'll have 78 million boomers that head for the Social Security lines. And remember, Social Security is an unfunded mandate, meaning that the federal government requires the benefits to be paid without providing the appropriations necessary to foot the bill. Social Security is funded by a tax on workers. So if you have fewer workers, you're going to have a lower tax revenue, and we cannot look to Generation X to make up the difference because there are 9 million less of them. So the boomers are going to place pressure on the system in many ways because of advances in medical technology, boomers will live longer. As boomers live longer, they will require more care. And that burden of care is highlighted by the reality that the United States is going to face a 29% shortage of doctors by the year 2020 and a shortage of 1 million nurses in the same time span. And that care is going to include not just medical, but also social needs of an aging population. Now, the question is this: who's going to provide for the care? Churches and local ministries will likely provide the care, but they're going to provide the care for the physical and metaphysical needs of people on a shrinking budget because some of the best givers will have been retired. So it's critical that people who love the ring of truth step up to the plate and say, I'm going to stand with your ministry prayerfully and financially regardless of social trends, because that's what giving's all about. It's about recognizing that we can lean upon the arm of God as opposed to the arm of flesh. God, in his infinite wisdom, has condescended to use human agency in the process of communicating the gospel. And that means that we need to be involved both in the communication of the gospel and in facilitating the communication of the gospel. So again, I ask you, as those who love the ring of truth, to stand with our ministry prayerfully and financially. We need your support right now if we are to continue on stations around the country. Without your support, we're going to have to make some cuts. So it all depends on you joining the team. If you can stand with me prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You can do it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Some of you can give large amounts, some of you smaller amounts, whatever you can do. Be part of the team, prayerfully and financially. Your contribution will make a difference. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Patrick in Flagstaff, Arizona. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I really, really appreciate your show, and I'll make a quick question here.
Sure.
I've heard preachers dance around this for 20 years, so I'm going to try and make it very concise. Once saved, always saved. Can't lose your salvation. My question is, had a dear brother in the Lord for, gosh, 15, 20 years. One day, up and left his wife, left his 10-year-old daughter. He's gone. I mean, he's back in the world. My question is, will that brother go to heaven and receive lesser reward, or will he go to hell to be separated from God? And that's my only question.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to dance around the issue. I think that there are a lot of people that claim to be Christians that are not Christians. In other words, from outward appearances, they may have looked like they were believers, but they came to Christ not because they loved Christ, but because they loved what Christ provided for them. Whether it is contacts in business, whether it is a warm, fuzzy feeling, whatever it might be, they came to the master's table to partake of the master's food rather than partaking of the master himself. And Judas is the quintessential example, of course. From outward appearances, he looked like the real deal. But the reality was, Judas was a devil, according to the Lord's own words. So we can't go by outward appearances. And if you're genuinely born again, you are going to live your life in accordance with the principles of Christ. That does not mean you'll do so perfectly. You will fall, you will slip. But boy, oh boy, to imagine a believer abandoning his family and saying, I'm a believer, that's a hard one to take. I can't judge the heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But that kind of fruit smacks of a said faith as opposed to a real faith.
I can't argue. I appreciate your time and your ministry, buddy.
Thank you very much for your call. You know, of course, Scripture is replete with passages that testify to the security of the believer. John 5:24 says that he who believes has eternal life. And 1 Corinthians 1 promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. And Jude 24 guarantees that God is able to keep you from falling. Ephesians provides the surety that we are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So if you're genuinely born again, you don't have to worry about the prospect of having to be born again and again and again. If you're genuinely born again, you are in the hand of God, and no one will snatch you out of that hand. Let us go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Jimmy. He's in Salt Lake City, Utah, listening on KUGR. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello. I am a first-time caller. I wanted to glorify God for the description you gave of the crucifixion, because you made clear that Jesus suffered fully as a man and also fully as the Son of God. My question is, the Nicolaitans, that heresy developed early in the church, and Jesus speaks about it and against it in the book of Revelation. I've heard all kinds of things about the Nicolaitans. I've heard that it was a Gnostic era. I've also heard that it was the beginning of a clergic era where people decided they were a different privileged believer class, a priest, et cetera, that developed later into the Roman version of the believers. That kind of thing. But what do you have on that?
Well, there is a lot of diversity on what this means from a denotative standpoint. It actually means to conquer people, and to conquer people refers to conquering people with false doctrine and false practice. And so it refers to evil teachers who are conquering people with their false doctrines and false practices.
Oh, well, how the priesthood that all believers had became a priestcraft, where they believed they had certain supernatural powers that the laity, of course, didn't have, like transubstantiation, things like that. How soon did that come up? And the Catholics claim it was always there, and other people say this and that. Do you know anything about that?
Well, from the very start, the New Testament uses language of the Old Testament to speak about believers. We are called the priesthood of all believers in the New Testament explicitly by Peter. So the very language that is used with respect to true Israel in the Old Testament is used with respect to the church in the New Testament. So the very notion that we need to have a priest as the mediator or the arbiter is incorrect. We can go directly into the presence of God and call him Abba Father, because we are priests in our own right. I'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org. Our passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick word about the Battle for the Bible, the 2010 CRI National Conference. It's going to be a blast. We're going to play golf. There are special activities for kids, for wives. But that's not the point. The real point here is that there is a battle for the Bible. The skeptics have turned up the heat. And you have people now broadly with broad platforms saying that the Bible is simply a copy of a copy of a copy with fresh errors being introduced in its stage of the process. And it's completely unreliable. Bart Ehrman, for example, says that there are more mistakes and the New Testament manuscripts than there are words in the New Testament. Well, how do we respond to that? I mean, our kids are hearing that, and they're thinking, well, yeah, I mean, it's old stuff and probably not reliable, and therefore I'm not going to live my life by it because it puts parameters around my life, and those parameters aren't comfortable. I want to live life by the dictates of my own will. And so oftentimes kids from very fine evangelical homes go to university, and we get to pay $100,000 or $150,000 to have them be indoctrinated against the very Bible that we've placed our trust in. Now, I don't place my trust in the Bible through blind faith, but rather faith and evidence. We're going to be presenting that evidence. We're going to be inoculating kids. We're going to give ammunition to parents in the battle for the Bible. If we don't stand now, we're going to fall. And if we can't stand now, when can we stand? This is the time to stand. The Bible is under attack. And yet there's more evidence for the veracity of Scripture today than ever before. You simply need to know what the arguments are. Internalize them, be able to use them to make a difference, not just in your family, but in the culture. We can transform the culture, but only if we win the battle for the Bible. The DNA of our culture is based on the Bible. We can't win the battle without the battle for the Bible. We have to be victorious. Join us. Again, it's Friday, May 7th, Saturday, May 8th, Tampa Bay, Florida, beautiful Innisbrook Resort, the experience of a lifetime. Join us. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines to talk to Jerry
in Taggart, Oregon, listening on KPDQ. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? It's a pleasure to talk to you once again.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, my question has really had to do with younger believers and when it is appropriate to start to teach the art and science of biblical interpretation and hermeneutics. And the reason why I ask is because I've always kind of struggled with this because I don't want to overwhelm, and I feel at times, sometimes when I try to share that sort of stuff, I overwhelm them. So what would you say about that?
The earlier the better, and I don't think it's overwhelming. I mean, look, this is what makes literature open up like a fragrant blossom to kids. And I can speak with some authority on this because I have a lot of kids. And I'll tell you, hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation, how do you read something for all it's worth? I mean, that's going to be important in everything they do, whether it's reading something that's an assignment from school, reading the Bible, or reading a novel. You got to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. You got to learn how to read the Bible as literature. It's literature. It's inspired. It's infallible literature, but it's literature nonetheless. So you can never be too early in teaching your kids the art and science of biblical interpretation. And I've laid that out in various places, including the Apocalypse Code.
Well, hey, thanks, Hank. I appreciate that. And the other kind of question that I have, too, is it's such a hard, and that was my inclination too. Earlier the better. However, I haven't been all that successful because my heart's desire is really to be able to equip people to be able to study the Bible and know it for what it's worth. But I guess maybe in the church that I run or the churches that I do run, they already have a lot of preconditioned biases, and so that's what really concerns me. Is at the point in which I try to share, you know, your acronym of LIGHT, they seem to have other means as well that are kind of contradictory to, like principles like first mention, stuff like that. And what would you say to that differing principles of hermeneutics?
Well, I think the principles are hermeneutics are inviolate. In other words, the literal principle of biblical interpretation, what does that really mean? That's the first thing you have to come to grips with, and that's the L in the acronym LIGHTS. Well, it means, at the end of the day, it means that the Bible is literature. So to read the Bible literally means to read the Bible as literature. It means to pay attention to where the words are taking you. So if you read a metaphor in Scripture, you do violence to the text of Scripture to read that in a wooden literal sense. And you could have a lot of fun with kids on this account because language is very metaphorical in nature. And so I do this with kids all the time. You know, I was watching the Final Four of Baylor Duke yesterday with my boys, and the announcer was making statements, and I was trying to press the language into a wooden literal labyrinth, making everybody laugh. But I was really trying to get through to my kids. You know, you can't take things literally. You got to take them in the sense in which they're intended. So when the announcer says, that guy's got a big leg, well, that means he's got a strong leg. And in football vernacular, it means usually a field goal kicker can kick the ball a long ways. Or if you say at the end of the basketball game, there's a world of time left in this game, when there's 30 seconds, it means that a lot can happen in 30 seconds. So you can use the metaphors that are being used even in sports, on television, in general common communications with one another as examples of what the literal principle of biblical interpretation means. And I've really drummed this home in my kids, so that they don't get into this false idea that unless you take the Bible in a wooden literal sense, you're spiritualizing the text. You know, if you take the Bible in a wooden literal sense, you are robbing the text of its meaning. If Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," you take that in a wooden literal sense, well, you got the staff of life instead of the stuff of life. So, I mean, I think it's really fun and engaging. We got to find ways of being creative with our kids, and I try to do that with my kids, and I think you can do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, you know, I appreciate it. I guess I just we'll just keep plugging along and just keep moving forward with this. I appreciate your ministry. I appreciate the LIGHTS acronym. It's played a big part in my life in getting to the truth of the matter of the Bible. And it is my heart's desire to share that with other people. And like I said, though, maybe I need a little more encouragement because I haven't had much success because it seems like, for the most part, people really just don't want to really think too much.
And yeah, so, have fun with it. Have fun with it. Make it fun. I mean,
I'll try.
You know, they say you can't, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. You can if you put some salt in the oats.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Well, hey, thanks, Hank. Have a wonderful evening, and God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry. Back to the phone lines. Ken, XM170, Sacramento, California. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, how you doing? I have a question about the election doctrine. I'm confused on it. Some people believe that God chose certain people to be saved, and that God, or that Jesus only died for those people. And then what I understand is that Jesus died for everybody and that we have free will to choose.
All you need to know is that Christ is the elect one. And if you are in Christ, by virtue of that, you are elect. The emphasis in election is on Jesus Christ. He is the elect one. And his death on behalf of humanity is sufficient for the sins of all of humankind. It's efficient only for those who place their trust in him. So I don't think that God has a class system. I think that God died for the sins of the world because he wanted us to be reconciled to himself, but only on the basis of our choice. In other words, God is not forcing himself on people. He's not a cosmic rapist. We love him because God gave us the ability to love him. If that was nothing more than an act where a puppeteer is making us love him, and we were Chatty Cathy dolls, love would not be meaningful. But love, in a Christian sense, is truly meaningful. So from my perspective, I hold a libertarian freedom, not compatibilistic freedom. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, as I've mentioned many times in the broadcast, this is a ministry that survives and thrives as a result of faithful people who support it. Right now, for your gift to the ministry, Resurrection Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History, my way of saying thank you, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or simply talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't have enough voice to go on, so we'll see you tomorrow with more of the show.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains 5 of the greatest works by 5 of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for Students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.